days last week, we discussed the Jewish High Council's decision to finally put an end to Jesus. And amongst that, okay, so we got into then a really, really deep discussion, deep theological discussion about why God allows evil to exist in this world and how God can make use even of the evil acts of men. And that was some pretty heavy stuff. So for those of you that were here last week, we're going to give you a little bit more of a break this time around. And we're going to talk about rest, and we're going to talk about the Sabbath. In fact, we're going to actually kind of skip ahead just a little bit. We're at the end of chapter 11, and actually it works better to kind of segue the end of 11 into kind of like the middle of 12, and so we're going to jump ahead just a little bit, and then next week we'll come back and I'll finish up 11 with you guys, and we'll also continue on in chapter 12, okay? And like I said, we're moving into a Passion Week. It's like, oh my gosh, we've been in the book of John, and we're only like halfway through it, and already we're at the end of Jesus' life, and it's like, yeah. The really cool thing about the book of John is John spends almost half of his time on the last week of Jesus' life. Okay, and John adds a ton of information that the other writers of the Gospels left out. But anyway, we're moving into that, and before we get there, we're going to pick it up now, like I said, beginning in verse chapter 12, verses 1 and also 2. And so, as always, if you guys could kind of read it out loud, then I can do the commentary. So, do I have a volunteer to read for me? Okay.
6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. The dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor.
Okay, so Passover for the Jews, like many of the required feasts, are like a week-long celebration. Remember, these guys are coming from a very, very long way to go there, so it's not going to be like a morning thing and then go back home again. Some of these guys are walking for 3 days or even longer to be able to get there. Okay, and so Passover week begins on the Sabbath and ends on the Sabbath. Now for the Jews, Sabbath begins Friday night at sundown and lasts until Saturday night at sundown. Okay, and so when it says 6 days before the Passover, that is the Saturday, okay, before Passover. Okay, and this is going to indeed be the last Sabbath that Jesus will spend alive. The following Saturday, he will be in the tomb. Okay? And so, I thought it would be appropriate that we talk a little bit about and spend a little bit of time on exactly what the Sabbath looks like. Okay? And so let me just ask you, have you heard of the word Sabbath before? When you hear that word, what does it bring to mind? Okay, well, actually, Sabbath itself means the seventh day. Okay? But most people equate that with, or link it with, the rest part. Okay? How do we get link the rest with the seventh day? How did that come about? God did that, right? God said, we need you to rest on the seventh day. Now, let me just ask you guys, talked about a little bit, how many really have a hard time when you have a day off, or when it's like a day like today, so this is the seventh day according to our calendar. For the Jews, this would be the first day of the week, just so you know. The seventh day of the week on the Jewish calendar is Saturday, okay? And so their Sabbath is on a Saturday. For many of us, our Sabbath is on Sunday. Okay, so it doesn't mean a particular day, it doesn't mean Saturday, it means the seventh day. And it's supposed to be a time where, according to God's commandment, we take time to rest. Okay, so how many in here struggle with that whole rest idea? We live in a culture and a time, guys, and this is what we're going to kind of talk about a little bit, where we seem to be defined by what it is that we do. Okay, and what is that our kids do? And more and more, and I tell Nicole, it's probably the most overused word that I hear these days is overwhelmed. Everybody you talk to is like overwhelmed with their life. It's like, I'm overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed. It's like, it's not how it's supposed to be. Okay, but we try to cram as much stuff as we possibly can into as little time as we have, and it's just like one of those things where like we build a schedule that who would not be overwhelmed by it, okay? But it's not supposed to be that way, and sometimes you got to be a little bit intentional about breaking out of that cycle. It's not all that easy. You know, when I was a young man particularly, it was all about as much stuff as I could possibly get done in a limited amount of time. So. Okay, so I'm going to share with you the first trip my family made to Disney World. And just so you know, for those of you that don't, at that time I was a divorced dad, and I had remarried. I married Nicole, but I had two boys from a previous marriage. And if you're a divorced dad have ever been in that situation, you know that now it's like, man, I get 4 days a month to cram all of my life with my boys into that little amount of time, you know, and then some vacation time and a couple of holidays here and there. But man, when I was with them, it's like I wanted to do as much as I possibly could. I wanted to have them have nothing but great memories. Certainly they don't want to come over to dad's and just lay around and do nothing, you know what I mean? And so that's what I did for a very, very long time. And so I wanted to share with you our first trip to Disney World. And I didn't have a lot of money at that time. Not that I have a lot of money now. But we decided, we saved up, and we were going to go to Disney World. I was going to take the boys there. And in addition to that, we were actually going to take Nicole's kid sister with us. That's her, Andrea, right there. There's the boys when they were young. They were that age. And so, and I wanted to make sure that this was the best vacation ever, okay? And so, what you're going to see up here, and hopefully you're not easily distracted by that, because I'm also going to be talking at the same time, it's just a cycle of a number of pictures that we took while we were there, okay? So let me explain that trip, and you'll get a feel for how the Lotts led their life back in 1994, which we weren't Christians at that time, by the way, far from it, but nonetheless, we were a family, and so let me just kind of read this because I won't be able to read it to say it fast enough by memory, so I'm just going to kind of read this. So Nicole and I had planned this trip for months, if not a year. We talked to people that had been there in order to get tips on what to do and what not to do. We read books on what to expect, where to stay, where to go, what to do, and how to do it. This was going to be a very expensive vacation. We're taking three kids, my two boys, and Nicole's kid sister. Nicole hadn't been born yet. We were flying, we weren't driving, and we were staying for a full 7 days. Who knew if we could ever afford a trip like this again, or if we'd ever be in a position where we could go again? Okay, this needed to be the vacation of a lifetime. Okay, and one of the kids would be talking about for years to come. And one certainly that they would never forget. That part I know is true. They never forgot this. Okay, so we planned and we planned. And we figured out which parks had the earliest opening time at each particular day and which ones had the latest close at any particular day. And we wanted to make sure that we made the best use of the time that we were there. Okay, and as long as we were in Florida, we weren't just going to see the Disney parks. As long as we were there, we were also going to take in Universal Studios and SeaWorld. Okay, and when you're that close, and I was a science guy, Cape Canaveral was definitely had to be on the list. Okay, and since none of the kids has ever been to the ocean before, we decided we'd also go to Daytona Beach this week. Okay, what I want to say, it was a big plan. Okay, nonetheless, we planned it, we planned it, we planned it, planned it, planned it, planned it. Okay, fitting all that into just 7 days took some careful planning and would require adherence to a very tight schedule. But we could do it if we worked together. So, March 1994, Team Lott headed to O'Hare to begin what turned out to be the vacation from hell. Okay, the hotel we were staying at served a full breakfast beginning at 6 a.m. Okay, breakfast would be important. Because once we left, food was expensive in the parks, so we weren't eating in the parks. Okay, breakfast would have to last until late in the afternoon when we left one of the parks to go to another and picked something up on the way. And so everybody was required to be down there for breakfast, and we had read that the breakfast lines at this particular hotel got really long fairly quickly. And so we need to be there right at 6 a.m. when they opened so that we wouldn't get caught in those lines. So the alarm every day sounded at 5:30. We quickly get dressed for the day in order to be there for breakfast as soon as they opened. Okay, there'd be no returning to the room until late that night. So we would leave immediately for whichever park was scheduled for the earliest open that particular day. It was important that we get there a minimum of an hour early to make sure that we had a place near the front of the line. During that hour in line, I would go over the plan that we had developed for that particular day and that particular park. There would be no stopping or wandering. We were on a mission. We would need to be very strategic. Main attractions were near the front entrance would become congested very quickly. So Team Lot would avoid those bottlenecks by moving as quickly as we possibly could to the very back of the park. Everyone would hold hands while we were moving. We didn't want to take a chance on anybody getting lost or falling behind. We didn't have time for stragglers, and we certainly didn't have time for missing persons. Main attractions first, as many as we possibly could, as quickly as we could. The park would become more and more crowded as the lines got longer as the day went on. It would be critical that we knocked out the biggies as quickly as we possibly could in the first few hours. Okay. While in line, the kids would check the map. We planned the best route to our next ride because there was no talking about it once the ride stopped. We would need to hit the ground running if we were going to be able to get everything in that we had planned for that particular day. Okay, by late afternoon, we'd be ready to move to another park. Now, by the time we left, we would quickly pick up something on a drive-thru on the way there, because like I said, no food in the park, and then we'd eat it in the car. That way we could save as much time as we possibly could for the time that we were in the park. All right, crowds were already there by afternoon, so we would spend our time kind of leisurely in the new park that we were at, taking in some of the minor attractions. Now, the cool thing is that every park, they had some kind of a main event later in the evening. Once the sun started to go down, it was fireworks, a parade, or some kind of other event, which is really cool because as the crowds left the rides and went into the streets to take in this new event, that's when Team Lot would hit the rides. Okay, and so while they were watching fireworks, all the rides would open up and we could get in four or five major attractions during that time while the fireworks were going off. And that would be our plan. We would stay as late as we possibly could until they kicked us out. It was usually around 10 o'clock. Okay, and then it was a meal again on the way home. Everybody had to be in bed by midnight because that 5:30 alarm would hit very, very early. Okay, and so it was day after grueling day. Sunday it was Epcot in the morning, followed by the Magic Kingdom. Monday it would be Hollywood Studios, then a return to Epcot that night. Tuesday a day trip to Cape Canaveral and Daytona. Wednesday it would be SeaWorld, followed by a return to Hollywood Studios. Thursday the entire day at Universal. Friday Magic Kingdom, and then Epcot at the end of the day. About the third day, guys, the smiles were gone. Laughter, gone. And that's when the whining and the complaining began. They were whining about the heat, complaining about sore feet, and that's when tempers started to flare up, especially mine. How dare they not be having fun? I had invested considerable time and expense to make sure that this would be a very enjoyable vacation. And they were going to enjoy themselves whether they liked it or not. So, guys, we grounded out that whole week. Friday, Saturday came. Saturday, by plan, was like a free choice day. I figured that we would go back to whatever they decided they liked the best. One more trip back to, we would return to whatever it might be. So, I called a family meeting. I asked the question, so what is it that you would like to do today? And do you know what they had the nerve to say? Dad, could we stay at the hotel today and do nothing? I just about flipped. Are you kidding me? We didn't come all the way to Florida to sit around and do nothing. There's a pool back in Glendale Heights. We're not going to come here and stay at the pool. Not a chance. But, and you can believe it or not, Nicole actually took their side in all of this. So now it's four against one. And they weren't budging. They said, I'm not standing in one more line. I'm not going on one more ride. We've had enough. And so, begrudgingly and with an attitude, I gave in. But I have to tell you, secretly, I was very relieved. Because I was exhausted. Now, that was our first trip, and that's kind of the way that I was about many things, planning to squeeze in as much as you possibly can in whatever time that you had. Weekends look like that. Guys, evenings look like that. It's like, oh my gosh. You know what I mean? And you're just running from one thing to the other, and the truth was, it really wasn't all that enjoyable. Okay? Let's take a look at Exodus 20, beginning with verse 8. As I said, God commanded a rest for all of us. And he actually knew what he was talking about, but let's go ahead and read this one, if you guys would, for me.
Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest, dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy.
Okay, good. Hey, do you recognize that? That is indeed the fourth commandment. Okay, and so that makes it one of God's top ten. Okay, written by the very finger of God on the stone tablets that he passed down to Moses. This is one of those things commanded. You need to take a rest. Okay, and God models that. So the question is, why do you think God rested on the seventh day? I'll give you some choices. Do you think he got stressed out after all the creation and just needed a break? You think he got tired? You think that he was so overwhelmed that he just needed time to collect himself? Okay, say no to all of those choices. The question then is, why does God take a rest? He works 6 days, and then God takes a rest, and he says, you guys need to do the same thing. So why does God rest if you say he didn't get tired, he didn't get overwhelmed, he didn't get stressed out?
Because he knows we would be tired.
Because he knew that we would need a rest, and he wanted to model that for us. Okay? And so God takes a rest. In fact, let's go ahead and read next in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1.
Intimate God, therefore...
Okay, so God is the perfect Heavenly Father, models for us the things that we should do. And one of those is, on the seventh day he took a rest. Okay, so that wasn't about God needing a rest. That was about us needing an example of how things are supposed to be. Okay, so let me just ask you a question for those of you that have kids, or maybe you can think back on when your kids were little. Okay, what did you model, or what are you modeling for your kids? Because kids have a tendency to imitate us. Now, they may war against us in the middle of, we're trying to get them to do whatever it is, but ultimately, you haven't noticed this, we have a tendency to look, as we get older and older, more and more like our parents. As much as I said I would never be like my dad, every day that I look in the mirror, I see more and more of him. Okay? And my dad's one of those guys that he's into his 80s now and still works like a horse all day long because he doesn't know anything else to do. Okay? The cool thing is I've started to break away from some of that, but that's what he modeled for me, and that's what it started to become. And I have a tendency to believe, okay, that many of us are teaching our children to be overwhelmed. We get them signed up for as many possible things as we can during the course of the week. You need to be in 15 different activities because you certainly don't want to miss out on anything. Okay, so that's a lot like my Disney vacation. And as I run from one thing to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing, pretty soon it becomes a grind. It's so longer this fun, exciting thing that it would be to just to really enjoy one or two activities. Now it becomes this thing with like, okay, Monday I got this, and Tuesday I got this, and Wednesday I got this, Thursday, and Saturday I got this, and then Sunday I got a game in the afternoon. It's like, oh my gosh. And pretty soon kids are just like we as parents are. They're done with it. They're overwhelmed with it. So it becomes this mission that we have to work on finishing. Right? Okay? So anyway, what we're going to work on today is, what can a Sabbath look like for us today? Okay? Now, I'm just going to warn you ahead of time, guys, we miss what Christianity is all about, because the first thing that has a tendency to happen is, so we have something like a Sabbath, we're going to start to observe the Sabbath as a family, and the very first thing that we do is then we come up with this whole list of rules and regulations about what that's supposed to look like. It's one of the things that Jesus did away with is a lot of the rules and regulations. So it's not really about that, okay? So you kind of put that off to the side as we think about, okay, we're going to do this and this and this, and we're definitely not going to do... That's what we call legalism, okay? When we start to box everything in, and that's not it. But I'm going to give you an example, and I'm very thankful. Cora had the really unique opportunity. She went through Moody Bible Institute, where she's going to school. She had an opportunity to study abroad, okay? And she went with a group of 40 students to Israel for an entire semester. Really, really cool, okay? Now, a couple of things that came out of that is my daughter came back with more confidence than I've ever seen before. I mean, she spent a great deal of time a long way from home. And I wouldn't know mom's going to come down there and bail you out if things aren't going well. Okay? And she came back much more mature, much more confident. And so I'm like, man, we've got to take advantage of this. We were talking about this earlier in the week, and she was telling me about she had the opportunity to spend a Sabbath day with a family in Israel, in Jerusalem. Okay? Which is a little bit different than we see around here for many of us. Okay? And I'm like, Cora, would you mind sharing in church what you just told me? And so she agreed, which before she went to Israel, I'm not sure she would have the confidence to get up and speak like this, but she said yes. And so, guys, I want you to hear this. I'm going to stay up here, and you know, if she stumbles along the way, I'll pick you up, just so you know. But I'm not counting on that. But here, so I'm going to let Cora give you a quick story about her experience in Jerusalem.
Hi guys, I'm Cora, if you don't know. And like my dad said, I was able to spend Sabbath day in Jerusalem. So to sum up my story, the first thing you have to know is Sabbath officially started around 4. That's when everything closed. No public transportation, nothing. So if you wanted to go anywhere, you had to walk. And some of the places you go are really far. So public transportation, all of that is closed, and at 6, that's when it officially continues. So everything closes around 4, but Sabbath isn't officially till 6.
So all businesses and everything stores,
closed.
Everything shuts down
at
4 o'clock on Friday.
Yeah, so if you go at like 3:55, they're going to tell you, we can't help you, we're closing. Because they all want to get back home, maybe before the buses end, I don't know. Maybe they all walk. I don't know. So then we walked to this couple's house. Now both these Jews are English Jews. They both lived in England and then moved to Jerusalem after they were married. And they had all 4 of their children there. I'm trying to think if it was 5, but I think it was 4. They had 2 college-age kids, 1 high school, and 1 4-year-old. So that was crazy. And you got to think that their house... It was an apartment building, so, you know, if you can picture an apartment, it's really small. They fit all 4 of them, or 6 of them, and 22 of us, all in this one little space. And their whole thing is, if a stranger comes and wants to share a meal with you, it's open door policy, so you let them in. Which I don't know how many of us would open our doors to random people, strangers, people we don't even know. They didn't know us, we didn't know them, but they still opened their door.
So wait a minute, Cora. So it sounds like a lot of work having 22 foreign students in your house. Was it a lot of work for the lady of the house to have you guys there?
No. Their whole thing is, she explained to us how the women did their Sabbath. Because she knew that Sabbath was on Friday, she couldn't do any of the cooking on Friday. She said she started off 7 days ahead of time cooking the meal that she was going to serve on the Sabbath. Or maybe it was 5. She ended up doing her whole cooking in 2 days. And so she got out of all the work. Then, you know, you have your meal and they were explaining, you sing praises to God. A lot of us were struggling a little bit because none of the songs were in English and none of us really spoke Hebrew. So we're like, what are we singing? I don't know. And then...
So, just so you know, of course, do a nice job with this. When you're over there, there are no hot meals on Saturday. Mm. Not for breakfast, not for lunch. Dinner, of course, there is because you're past the Sabbath. So all the cooking that needs to be done for Saturday is done sometime before that. Mm. And they just get it out. So serving is okay, but not cooking or doing a lot of the other stuff. Okay.
Yeah, so a lot of the food was cold. You know, you had salad, you had some soup that was kind of warm, but not really, because you can't really cook it, because they think that is work. And then also, one of the big things, because it's modern days and all of us have cellular devices, no cellular devices or electronics. In their culture, it's 1, a sign of working, and 2, disrespectful, because for them, their Sabbath is all about family time. So he had, the father had 3 of his kids there. One of his 4th kid was going to college, but was in the military leaving, so his son was exempt from that because he was in the military. So basically, we were warned ahead of time, don't bring your cell phone. So sorry, there's no pictures, but none of us could do it.
So wait a second here. So what do you do, guys, when you have no electronic devices for a whole day? Oh my gosh, what did you guys do?
Yeah, we were ending up talking a lot. You know, we got to know them quite well. You know, we each got to ask them questions, and they would answer them if we had them. But we couldn't take any pictures because that was not what they wanted us to do. Even though we didn't know them, it was a little awkward. We don't know these people. And they all have super long names that is, like, almost impossible to say. So you're just like, okay, I have a question. And what was cool is the father lighted 4 candles, each of them were representing his children. And as he's going, he's explaining to us what he's doing. He said, now is the time I pray over each of my children. I could say them by their name, and I say a specific prayer just for them. None of his prayers for his children were the same, which was amazing to me, because how many of us just pray simple prayers over our kids that we want all of our kids to have? But no, none of their prayers were the same. He wanted something different for each one of them. And he did speak it in Hebrew, so I have no idea what he was saying to them, but it was only to them. So he would whisper it into their ear and continue. But also, because they were in an apartment complex, they would have any of their neighbors come over and share a meal as well. So as the meal continued, there were different kids coming in and out of the house. And I was like, who are these kids? And they said, this is Open Door. And sometimes they like to throw a little bit of a party. I remember one Sabbath, they had music going, there was dancing. It was really fun for them.
Cool. Thank you for
my Sabbath story.
Thank you, Cora.
No problem.
Hey, guys. I wanted her to share that with you because that's something really cool. And the truth is, it's something that we can be intentional about taking it on for ourselves if we choose to. And it doesn't matter whether you have a big family or whether you don't, okay? Because, like Cora said, for this particular family, it was like Open Door. Friends could come in, okay, on that particular day. It didn't really matter. It was a time for bonding and fellowship, a time for rest, and a time for getting closer to God, okay? So I just tell you another real quick story. This is when Cora was little, okay? And if you had little ones, you know what I'm talking about, all right? She had gotten to that point where she was just about ready to give up her afternoon nap, Okay? And when you're a parent, you count on that afternoon nap to get stuff done. You know what I mean? You can't wait. It's like, oh, great, afternoon nap. I got 2 hours or whatever it is to get all of my stuff done. Okay? But she had gotten to that point where she was really not wanting to take an afternoon nap. And so the only way I could actually get her to lay down and stay there is you lay down with them. You ever had to do that? So I lay down with her, and then you're sitting there the whole time waiting. She's like, okay, is she asleep yet? Can I, you know, and if you move too soon, she's like, are you getting up? She's like, no. So then you're just like, you know, and in the meantime, I'm thinking, okay, the clock's ticking away here, and I got all this stuff to do. It's like, would you please go to, I really just did not appreciate that all that much, okay? Now, looking back, I missed on a really, really great opportunity. Okay. In fact, guys, I'll just tell you one of the things that I remember with my dad, because my dad was always working. Very rarely did you ever have any downtime with him. And even to this day, I remember times when I was little, when he would actually lay down and snuggle. You know what I mean? That was some part of my dad. It's like, oh my gosh, that was so cool. When dad puts his big arms around you and holds you in there. Okay. Even though we weren't actually doing anything. Okay. The reason I bring that up is because what the Sabbath is supposed to be about is really two things. Okay? Number one is getting rest. But number two is also bonding time. Okay? Bonding time with your family or your friends, or bonding time with the Lord. Okay? There's something really cool about just being still together. Okay, and so part of that is when God says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, is there should be a time where you're just kind of still in the presence of your Heavenly Father. And okay, is there something really, really cool about that? Now, if you've never done much of that before and you've never been able to actually be still for very long, it feels really awkward to begin with. Okay, same thing about bringing your family together. And like Cora said, we just did a lot of talking. Okay? And for some families, that becomes really, really awkward. It's like, okay, what are we going to talk about? You don't really know what to do. But once you push through a little bit of that awkwardness, it becomes really, really, really neat. Okay? So let's talk about this just a little bit more. Okay? What can that look like for you and for your family? I want you to kind of think about that, because it varies a lot. Okay? And like I said, we're not going to put a whole ton of rules on this, because that's not what it's about. In fact, let's go ahead and read in Mark 2, verse 27. This is what Jesus, this is Jesus, red letter stuff. This is what Jesus says. If somebody could read that for me.
Then Jesus said to them, the Sabbath is made to meet the needs of the people, and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath.
Okay, and so guys, the Sabbath is about taking care of your needs and your family's needs. You understand that? It's not this list of rules so that we can please God in all of this. Okay, God set up the Sabbath so that your needs could be taken care of and the needs of your family. Okay, it's revolved around a couple of things, right? Rest and bonding, right? That's what it's about. Okay, so. Like I said, I'm not going to put a ton of rules up here, but I'm going to give you three basic principles as you start to be a little bit more, hopefully, intentional about guarding that Sabbath time. And I'm not even going to tell you that it has to be a whole day. Guys, I don't know what your life looks like. I mean, sometimes you said, Pastor Rod, that's easy for you to say, but you don't have my life. You have no idea how many hours I work during the course of the week and how much stuff I got to accomplish, and I don't have time to take a day off. All right, I'm going to believe you. If that's the case, start small. Yeah, I mean, maybe it's for you, it's just a few hours. And maybe it's a half a day. And maybe you can build up. Like Cora said, with the family over in Israel, and they had a ton of people over there. Okay? They had to time shift a little bit. Okay? And because it's not about, okay, let's all go over to Grandma's house, and Grandma can work her butt off while the rest of us just lay around. Okay? Grandma should also have that opportunity as well. And so, like Cora said, they prepared everything ahead of time. So when the family was over, there wasn't anybody excluded in all the preparation and serving part of all of that. That's what we have a tendency to do sometimes. I mean, when I went over by my grandma's, my grandma rarely went to church. And the reason she didn't go to church is because she was preparing for the family to come over on Sunday, which is when everybody came over. And then while they were there, she worked like crazy, and she rarely sat down and never had a chance to talk to anybody because she was so busy. And if that's what it turns out to be, somebody's getting taken advantage of. You know what I'm saying? It's not how it's supposed to be. And so sometimes it requires a little bit of being intentional. Okay? But here are the three big principles, okay? Number one, we're not going to do any work. And work is different things for different people. So I'm just going to define that. If it actually sucks the life out of you, okay, and drains your batteries, that's work. Okay? Some people like gardening. It's one of those things that actually breathes life into them. They enjoy doing that. They find it very restful. My gosh, what kind of people are they? You know, for me, going out and pulling weeds and digging in the dirt, it's like, this is work. But that's not the case for everyone. Okay? So the key with work is, it can't be something that drains your battery. It can't be something that sucks the life out of you. Those activities have to go. Okay? It should be something else instead. Something that actually breathes life into you. Something that you enjoy. Something that your family can enjoy. Hopefully it's not a time where you get together and fight the kids like I did when I was on vacation. You know, getting mad at them because they weren't enjoying themselves enough or because they weren't resting a good... It's like, find something that we can all enjoy doing together. Okay? And finally, it has to be something that's God-honoring. Okay? We're not going to do anything that's going to dishonor the Lord on the Lord's Day. Okay? So what kind of things are those that are God-honoring? Well, when we love Him, when we love one another, or we simply enjoy His creation. Those are God-honoring things. And you guys could maybe add to the list. My list isn't exhaustive. It's not like I come up with every possible thing. And that's what I'm going to ask you guys at the end to kind of help each other out with this. And we'll get to that in just a second. Okay? So, let me just tell you what the Lot family, what our Sabbath looks like. And for us, our Sabbath has been Sundays for a while. Even before I was preaching, we'd have Sunday. And Sunday we would all go to church together. That's how we would start off the day. Okay? Sundays were and are the day where we're probably not going to cook. Although if we do cook, we're going to do it together. Okay? So a lot of Sundays we'll eat out. Or we'll take out. Or if we do cook, it's going to be a family thing. We'll figure out something and we'll all prep together. Or we'll do it together. And so a lot of times, we like the outdoors if the weather is suitable. So we'll take a walk together. Believe it or not, the two girls actually like to fish. Can you believe that? Although they're not too good at baiting the hook or taking the fish off of the hook. But that's okay. Okay? But so, and I never thought that would be the case, but we like to go fishing sometimes together. We just kind of sit and it doesn't matter whether we catch fish or not, because that's not what it's about. Okay? And sometimes we just like to sit outside. The girls are more into that than I am. They like to get sun. I'm getting old. I worry about getting cancer, so I don't like that as much. But something that we still do together, indoors. And I used to hate because I couldn't sit very long. Okay, but I'm getting better at that. So we always, I shouldn't say always, a lot of times we have one of those big jigsaw puzzles on the table that we will work on. Not a matter of completing how quickly. See, I get stuck in that. Now, if we're going to start something, we got to finish it. You know what I mean? And I don't want to walk away from it until the thing is done. But that's not what it was about. It's about coming together, and we would talk, and we'd do the puzzle, and sometimes the puzzles would take months, depending on the size of them. Okay? We got a ton of board games by my house. Something that we just started recently, guys, is, and this has actually turned out to be really cool, okay, is we read a book together. The book the Lot family is currently reading is Hind's Feet on High Places. I don't know if you've ever read that book before. Really, really cool book. And even the kids can kind of enjoy that if they're old enough to read. They're old enough to be able to do that. And we take turns, and we read a page, and the next one reads a page, and then we spend some time talking about that. Okay? And what it really is so often is just a discussion prompter. And it's like, I don't know, what are we even going to talk about? I'm tired of how was your week this week? Because my week was boring. I didn't do anything. I do the same thing every day when I go to work. You know what I'm talking about? So sometimes you bring in some of those things that allow your discussion to change, right? Like the book thing. Okay? Now you're like so you're sitting there like, oh my gosh, the Lots are really boring people. I can't believe a day like that. How boring is that? Well, okay, so let me just tell you, sometimes boring is really, really cool. Just so you know. okay? And even from the time, and some would fight me on this, but even from the time that Cora was little and when she was first in school, you know, it's like, Cora, just so you know, you're not going to do 1,000 activities. You're not going to be in sports and music and dancing. And we're not just going to fill our calendar with as many things as we possibly can fill. I think it's important that you do some activities. Let's pick out one or two that you're really passionate about, and that's it. We're going to limit that. We're going to set some boundaries. We're not just going to be running you from one place to the next. Like I said, I learned my lesson from the Disney vacation. It's not about doing as many things as you possibly can with the time that you have. That just burns you out, okay? And so we've been intentional about that. And guys, just so you know, over the course of time, I've learned to appreciate the beauty of the afternoon nap. Okay? And we try not to split up on this. We try to stay. We might turn the TV on for nap time because, you know, especially a lot of things on TV really put you to sleep pretty quickly. But we try to stay together in that. Okay? And for us, that's pretty much what a Sabbath looks like. Okay? And so for you, I'm going to challenge you to start doing a little bit less. Pick out one day of the week where you're just like, this is going to be our family time. And it's going to require that you put up boundaries, because as soon as you pick something like that, it's like everything in the world wants to come against it, because God knows how important it is for you, and He knows how important it is for your family to have that kind of bonding. And so all of a sudden now the phone will ring off the hook with people that have an offer for you. You want to do this? You want to do that? It's like we've learned to say no a lot. You know what happens if you say no to enough things on Sunday afternoon? Pretty soon they don't invite you anymore. Which is a really cool thing. You don't have to say no anymore. It's like, oh my gosh. I know you can't do anything on Sunday afternoon, so we're planning something for Saturday night. How about that? Cool. Saturday nights are good. Sunday, not so good. You know what I mean? Unless it fits the criteria. If it's going to be God-honoring, it's going to be something where we have an opportunity to bond with the family. It's not like I said, it's not like we put cut-and-dry rules like, okay. But you do have to be intentional about it, or people will come in and they'll want to crash your boundaries. They'll want to invade your space, so to speak, and they'll want to rob your family of that time. Okay? And like I said, you can start slow if you need to, but be intentional. And now, guys, the last thing I'm going to challenge you guys with is, you know, most of you are on the group me, okay? And mine's not an exhaustive list, and I don't have a lot of time to share, okay? What I would like you guys to do, that'll let me know that you're thinking about this, is perhaps over the course of the week, you can share some ideas that you have for reclaiming the Sabbath for yourself personally, if you're a single guy or a single gal. Okay? Or if you're an empty nester or you don't have kids yet, maybe for you as a couple. Okay? And certainly if you're a family, to reclaim that family time. Okay? A time of bonding. A time of drawing close to God. A time of drawing close to each other. And a time for recharging. Okay? Can you do that? And so when you get ideas, if you wouldn't mind helping us all out, because I've learned some ideas along the way. The marriage class that we do, we talk a little bit about that and the stuff that's shared in there. Oh my gosh, I never thought of that before. And a lot of our stuff comes from the ideas of others. And so maybe you guys can share with one another. That'll also convince me that you're actually being intentional about what we talk about on Sundays. Okay?